The Acts and Monuments by John Fox, dated 1583, being read by Peter John Parisis. Acts and Monuments of Christian Martyrs and Matters Ecclesiastical, passed in the Church of Christ from the primitive beginning to these our days, as well in other countries, as namely in this realm of England and also Scotland, discoursed at large. Christ, our Savior, in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 16. Here in the confession of St. Peter, who first of all others openly acknowledged him to be the Son of God, and perceiving the secret hand of his Father therein, answered again, and alluding to his name, called him a rock, upon which rock he would build his church so strong that the gates of hell should not prevail against it, etc. In which words, three things are to be noted. First, that Christ will have a church in this world. Secondly, that the same church should mightily be impugned, not only by the world, but also by the utmost strength and powers of all hell. And thirdly, that the same church, notwithstanding the utmost of the devil and all his malice, should continue. Which prophesied of Christ we see wonderfully to be verified, insomuch that the whole course of the church to this day may seem nothing else but a verifying of the said prophesied. First, that Christ has set up a church needed no declaration. Secondly, what force, what sides and sorts of men, of princes, kings, monarchs, governors, and rulers of this world, with their subjects, publicly and privately, with all their strength and cunning, have bent themselves against this church. And thirdly, how the said church, all this notwithstanding, hath yet endured and holden his own. What storms and tempests it hath overpassed, wondrous it is to behold, for the more evident declaration whereof I have addressed this present history, intending, by the favorable aid of Christ our Lord, not so much to delight the ears of my country in reading of news, as most especially to profit the hearts of the godly in pursuing antiquities of ancient times, to the end that the wonderful works of God, first of his church, might appear to his glory. Also, that the continuance and proceedings of the church from time to time being set forth in these acts and monuments, more knowledge and experience may redound thereby to the profit of the reader and edification of the Christian faith. For the better accomplishing whereof, so to prosecute the matter as may best serve to the profit of the reader, I have thought good first, bringing from the time of the primitive church, and so continuing by the Lord's grace, these latter years, to run over the whole state and course of the church in general, in such order as to digesting the whole tractation of this history into flute sundry diversities of times. First, I will entreat the suffering of the church which continued from the apostles' age, about 300 years. Secondly, of the flourishing time of the church which lasted other 300 years. Thirdly, of the declining or backsliding of the church which comprehended other 300 years until the losing out of Satan, which was about 1,000 years after the ceasing of persecution, during which space of time the church, although in ambition and pride it was much altered from the simple sincerity of the primitive time, yet in outward profession of doctrine and religion it was something tolerable and had some face of a church, notwithstanding some corruption of doctrine with superstition and hypocrisy was then also creeped in. And yet, in comparison of that as followed after, it might seem, as I said, something sufferable. Fourthly, floweth the time of Antichrist and loosing of Satan, or desolation of the church, whose full swing contained the space of 400 years, in which time both doctrine and sincerities of life was utterly almost extinguished, namely, in the chief heads and rulers of the West Church, through the means of the Roman bishops, especially counting from Gregory the VII, called Hildebrand, Innocent the III, and friars which with him crept in, to the time of John Wycliffe and John Huss during the 400 years. Fifthly and lastly, after this time of Antichrist, reigning in the Church of God by violency and tyranny, followed the Reformation and purging of the Church of God, wherein Antichrist beginneth to be revealed and to appear in his colors, and his Antichrist doctrine to be detected, the number of his church decreasing, and the number of the true Christian increasing, the duration of which time hath continued hitherto about the space of 280 years, and how long shall continue more, the Lord and Governor of all times, he only knoweth. For in these five diversities and alterations of times, I suppose the whole course of the church may well be comprised. The which church, because it is universal and sparsely through all countries dilated therein in this history standing upon such a general argument, I shall not be bound to any one certain nation more than other, yet notwithstanding keeping my argument aforesaid, I have purposed principally to tarry upon such historical acts and records as most appertaineth to this my country of England and Scotland. And for so much as the Church of Rome in all these ages above specified hath challenged to itself the supreme title and ringleading of the whole universal church on earth, by whose direction all other churches have been governed, in writing therefore of the Church of Christ, I cannot but partly also intermeddle with the acts and proceedings of the same church, for so much as the doings and orderings of all other churches from time to time, as well here in England as in other nations, have this long season chiefly depended upon the same. Wherefore, as it is much needful and requisite to have the doings and orderings of the said church to be made manifest to all Christian congregations, so have I framed this history according to the same purpose. First, in a general description, briefly to declare, as in a summary table, the misguiding of that church, comparing the former primitive state of the forenamed Church of Rome with the latter times of the same. Which done, then after, in a more special traction, to prosecute more at large all the particulars thereof, so far forth as shall seem not unprofitable for the public instruction of all other Christian churches to behold and consider the matter and dealing of this one, in the which one Church of Rome four things at most special points seem to be chiefly to be considered, to wit, title, jurisdiction, life, and doctrine, wherein I have here to declare, first, concerning the title or primacy of the Church, how it first began and upon what occasion. Secondly, concerning the jurisdiction and authorities thereof, what it was and how far it did extend. Thirdly, touching the disorder of life and conversation, how in order it is. And fourthly, the form of doctrine, how superstitious and idolatrous of late it hath been, of the which for the first was prejudicial to all bishops, the second derogatory to kings and emperors, the third detestable to all men, the fourth injurious against Christ. The first, the title and still of the church, was such that it overwent all other churches, being called the Holy Universal Mother Church, which could not err, and the bishop thereof, Holy Father the Pope, Bishop Universal, Prince of Priests, Supreme Head of the Universal Church, and Vicar of Christ here on earth, which must not be judged, having all knowledge of Scripture and all laws contained within the chest of his breast. The difference between the Church of Rome that now is and the ancient Church of Rome that hath been. Secondly, the jurisdiction of that bishop was such that, challenging to himself both the swords, that is, the keys of spirituality, and the scepter of the laity, not only he subdued all bishops under him, but also extended himself above kings and emperors, causing some of them to lie under his feet, some to hold his stirrups, kings to lead his horse by the bridle, some to kiss his feet, placing and displacing emperors, kings, dukes, and earls, whom and when he listed, taking upon him to translate the empire at his pleasure. First from Greece to France, from France to Germany, preferring and disposing whom he pleased, confirming them which were elected. Also being emperor himself, sede vacancy, preceding authorities or power to invest bishops, to give benefits, to spoil churches, to give authorities to bind and loose, to call general councils, to judge over the same, to set up religions, to canonize saints, to take appeals, to bind consciences, to make laws, to dispense with the law and the word of God, to deliver from purgatory, to command angels, etc. Thirdly, what was the life and conversion of the court of Rome hereafter in the process of this history, followed to be seen and observed? Fourthly, such was his doctrine, in like manner tedious to students, pernicious to men's consciences, injurious to Christ Jesus, and contrary to itself. In laws more diverse, in volume more large, in diligence and study more applied, in vantage and preferment more gainful than ever was the study and learning of the Holy Scripture of God. All which 4 points, well considered and advised in this present history, set forth, I trust it may minister to the indifferent Christian reader sufficient instruction to judge what is of the see and Church of Rome to be esteemed. And here, by the way, it is to be noted that all these deformities above touch a vain title of pretense jurisdiction, of heretical doctrine, of schematically life, came not into the Church of Rome at all at one time, nor sprang from the beginning of the Church, same Church, but with a long working and continuancy of time, by little and little crept up through occasion, and came up to full perfection, till the time partly of Pope Sylvester, partly of Gregory the Seventh, the year 1170, partly of Innocent the Third, and finally of Pope Boniface the Eighth, the year 1300, of the which 4 popes the first brought in the title, the year 670, which was never in such ample wise before publicly extracted and received publicly in the said Church of Rome. The second brought in jurisdiction. The third, which was Pope Innocent, with his Rambles of Monks and Friars, as Thomas Aquinas, Petrus Lombardus, Jonathan Scotus, and with such other bishops as succeeded in the same see after him, corrupted and obscured the sincerities of Christ's doctrine and manners also. And lastly, Pope Boniface the Eighth, and after him Pope Clemens the Fifth, over and besides this jurisdiction, sufficiently advanced before by Pope Hildebrand, added, moreover, the temporal sword to be carried before them, and that no emperor, were he never so well elected, should be sufficient and lawful without the Pope's admission, the year 1300, whereby the Pope's power was brought now to his full pride and perfection, and thus came up the corruption of the Romish Church in continuance of years by degrees, and not all together, nor at one time, as it is declared, hereafter more particularly, Christ's willing shall be expressed. Wherefore, whosoever shall have hereafter to do with any adversaries about the antiquities or authorities of the Church of Rome, let him here well consider when and how the title, jurisdiction, and corruption of the doctrine first began in the Pope's see. And so shall he see that the Church of Rome, now as it is now governed with the manner of title, jurisdiction, and institution of doctrine, never descended from the primitive ages of the apostles or from their succession. Like as Santa Maria Picta, now Santa Maria, and So as the scholars do say, that is as the picture of the Holy Virgin is not the Holy Virgin, and as a man painted on the wall is not a man, so it is to be said of the Church of Rome, the institution and doctrine of the Church of Rome, that although it hath the name of the Church apostolically and doth bring forth a long genealogical of outward successions from the apostles, as the Pharisees did in Christ's time, bring their descendant from Abraham their father, yet all this is, as I said, not only eloquence, but that is, in name only, and not in effects or matters, which maketh the apostolic church indeed. For as much as the definition of the apostolical church neither agreed now with this present church of Rome, nor yet the manner, form, and institution of the said Romish church, as it is now standing for this title, jurisdiction, and doctrine, hath ever any succession or offspring from the primitive church of the apostles, but as Christ said by the Pharisees, that they were the children not of Abraham, but of the devil. In semblance wise may be answered that this Church of Rome now present, with this title, jurisdiction, and doctrine now used, cannot be fathered by the apostles, nor Peter, nor Linus, but by another author, whom here I will not name. And now here comes in the argument of Pigius, Hosius, and Eccius, to be answered hither unto, who arguing for the antiquities and authorities of the Church of Rome, reason on this manner, D.A. hyphen, that for so much as an ordinary and a known church visible must here be known continually on earth, during from the time of the apostles to the which church all of the churches must have recourse, R.I. hyphen, and seeing then there is no other visible church orderly known to have endured from the apostles' time, but only the Church of Rome. J. hyphen. They conclude, therefore, that the Church of Rome is that church whereinto all other churches must have their recourse, etc. To the which, P-A-R-A-L-O-G-I-S-M-E, and I'm going to try it, paralogimi, I answer thus, that this word, durans, ecclesia, and during church in the minor, hath fallacies, A-E-Q-U-I-U-O-C-I. For although the name of the church and our successions of bishops have had their durancy from time of the apostles, yet the definition and matter which maketh a true apostolic church indeed and univocal, neither is now the Church of Rome, nor yet the form and institution of the church now used in Rome, was ever from the apostles, which apostles were never authors or fathers of the title, jurisdiction, and doctrine now taught in Rome, but rather were enemies ever to the same. Again, to the major which standeth upon two parts, I answered, first, although the necessity of the church during from the apostles may and must be grafted, yet the same necessities was not bound to any certain place or person, but only to faith, so that, wheresoever that is to say, in whatsoever congregation true faith was, there was the Church of Christ. And because the true faith of Christ must needs ever remain in earth, therefore the church also must needs remain in earth. And God forbid the same true faith of Christ should only remain in one city in the world, and not in others as well. And therefore to the second part of the major is to be said that as this true and sincere faith of Christ is not so given to remain fixedly in one place or city alone, so neither is there any one church in the world so ordained and appointed of God that all other churches should have their recourse unto it, for determination of their causes and controversies, incidents, etc. And thus, much to the argument of Pigheus and Hosius, etc. Now, as touching the authorities and allegations of the ancient doctrines and holy fathers and the commendations of the Church of Rome, here comes in also to be noted that whosoever will understand rightly their authorities and answer to the same must first learn to make a difference and distinction of the said Church of Rome from what it was to that it is, for as much of the Church of Rome is not the same church now which it was then, but only equivalent, otherwise as touching the very property and definition of a church, it is another church, and nothing agreeing to that was then, save only an outward name and place, thereby by this distinction made. I answered the place of Enignus and Cyprianus, Cyprianus, another famous doctors, speaking of the Church of Rome, which then was said not untrue, calling it Catholic and apostolic, for that the same church took the ordinary succession of bishops, joined with the ordinary doctrine and institution of the apostles. But speaking of the Church of Rome, which now is, we say, the said places of the doctors are not true, neither doth that pertain to the same, all which doctors never knew the Church of Rome that now is, neither if they had, would ever have judged anything therein worthy such commendation. Over and besides our adversaries, yet more object against us, who heaving and shoving for the antiquities of the Roman Church, for lack of other sufficient reason to prove, are driven to fall in the scanning of the times and years. What say they, where was this church of yours before these 50 years? To whom briefly to answer, first we demand what they mean by this, which they call our church. If they mean the ordinance and institution of doctrine and sacraments now received of us, and differing from the Church of Rome, we affirm and say that our church was, when this church of theirs was not yet hatched out of the shell, nor did yet ever see any light, that is, in the time of the apostles, in the primitive age, in the time of Gregory the First, and the old Roman Church, when as yet no universal pope was received publicly, but repelled in Rome, nor this fully of penary power yet known, nor as doctrine and abuse of sacraments yet heard of, in witness whereof we have the old acts and histories of ancient time to give testimony with us, wherein sufficient matter we have for us to declare the same form, vigilage and institution of this our church reaffirmed now, not to be the beginning of any new church of our own, but to be the renewing of the old ancient church of Christ, nor to be any swerving from the Church of Rome, but rather a reducing to the Church of Rome. Whereas, contrary to the Church of Rome, which now is nothing but a swerving from the Church of Rome, as partly is declared, and shall more appear, God willing, hereafter.